Hey, it's Griffin Burns. You may know me as the voice of Tartaglia in Genshin Impact, Doppio in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Akira in Devilman Crybaby, and you're listening to Hawaii's number one podcast, the Casanova Podcast.
This wasn't written with your comfort in mind.
Nah.
Made my decision, wasn't tough to decide. Nah. Me and my boys, we get it done every time. Gotta earn it, you can't just jump in the line. You'll get rushed to the side. I top my division, I've been building since I started. In the parking lot, I parked it. I came in while picking targets. My career cannot be tarnished. I'm a champion regardless. Celebrate, but this is a different kind of lucha party. We are not alike.
I don't want your advice, I don't want your opinions. It's not gonna be different from the ones I told to listen. I've been working on a bigger picture and y'all ain't impressing me. Hey, como se dice, shut your mouth, respect the legacy. Ain't no comparisons, y'all just embarrassments. All of my confidence is rooted in my heritage. Yo, and with Mendoza and Mr. Wild, we showing what this about. Phantom driving, your career is disavowed. What's happening, y'all?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hawaii's number one podcast, the Casanova Podcast. I'm your host, Mikhail Casanova, and I am honored to be here with two very, very special guests, none other than David Angris and Skipper Wise, the heads of Neat Microphones. Gentlemen, please introduce yourself. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Good morning. It's nice
Good
to
morning.
Be here.
Yeah.
Skipper, your background's has a lot more depth here than mine does. Why don't you go first?
So I came from the music side of things. That's how I started. When I was a kid, I was part of the whole LA scene in playing music, R&B and jazz. And in fact, wound up with a jazz group called Windows, which put out 10 records on various labels, from small independents to Intima Capital to Cypress A&M. Then along the way, had a vocal career where I actually had some pop hits over in Europe when I was on the A&M side of things. And then ended my career with three albums for JVC with a group called The Color Club, which is a Les Pierce and I. Les was a great writer and a producer. And I had a recording facility out in the San Fernando Valley of out here in LA. And that recording facility was being used by a lot of the jazz guys and the audiophile guys all in the community. And there was a whole understanding of what we were trying to do to get on the radio and be successful and make a living. And what came out of that was an opinion of sound. And the products that were being used at the time, we were switching from analog over to the digital. It was right around that time where all of a sudden the digital recordings started to show all the inefficiencies of the mics. So if you were trying to manipulate the sound of the mic with equalizers, compressors, things of the type of outboard gear we use in professional recording, and what we use today, even in podcasting or communicating, the noise was all apparent and the tone of the microphones wasn't so attractive. So we started modifying the microphones along with my partner, Martin Salsperins, who was a gentleman that I used to work with when I would travel to Europe to pick up some vintage mics that he would modify and we'd bring back to the studios. And we learned all about how to upgrade what we were doing. And as we started to succeed, you know, with airplay and successful records, we had some number one contemporary jazz records. And we started to realize that we were onto something. And other engineers and musicians kept saying, can we get, you know, these mics? Can you get us one? We'd like to have our own personal mic, because a microphone is a very personal item. You know, it's like a cell phone, you know, it's part of your life.
Right.
So we started working on crafting these products and working on some of the technical aspects, which were all based around the microphone capsule. Think of a capsule as a song. If you have a good song, you have good musicians, good recording, you have a hit, all right? But if you have bad music and great musicians and a good recording, it's still bad music recorded well, right? So, so the capsule was really important, and we worked really hard to craft these tones. And that was the beginning of what became Blue Microphones in 1995. Now, here we are, you know, guys have been, I've been recording and in the music side of things, so I knew very little about retail. And Martins and I went to a trade show where we met David.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I think that was my cue. I've been in the professional audio business since I had long black hair, a long time ago. Accident or birth, I grew up in San Francisco and kind of came of age during the whole music scene there in the late 60s. And my friends were all musicians, and I was their tech guy. So I've been involved in the development of recording and sound reinforcement systems since the 60s. And for whatever reason, transducers are my passion. I haven't figured out why. But have a real passion and enjoyment for microphones and speakers, particularly microphones, and have been involved in a lot of studio supply work and worked for quite a while as one of the leaders of AKG here in the U.S. That over time that morphed, that company structures changed, and AKG became part of the Harman organization. So then I kind of took over sales and marketing at JBL. So I got to play with microphones and speakers. It was my sandbox. It was a wonderful thing. Down the road, I ended up as a senior executive at a music retail chain on the mainland called Guitar Center. I don't believe there are stores. There might be one in Honolulu at this point. I'm not sure.
There's just one, but not far from where I live.
I joined them to kind of help really established their foothold in the pro audio equipment business and had fun there for a long time and met Skipper. And just at the time that we needed a really good high-end line of microphones, and he had that in Blue, he needed business structure, business advice, and how do we deal with the marketing of all of this. And so we got together. There were four core people at Blue in those days. I kind of call myself the fifth Beatle. And we had a good run together there with both businesses prospering because of this relationship. And decades later, those guys had long since sold Blue. It had been sold a few times. It's part of Logitech now, so you may be aware. They had started another business, Neat. And that was started under the aegis of the Gibson Guitar Company. And for totally unrelated reasons, Gibson had some financial problems a number of years ago. They went into bankruptcy. And we as a group got together and bought Neat back out of that Gibson business after that bankruptcy. Okay. And we relaunched the product a couple of years ago. Our historical designs, as well as now working on new designs. And something really nice happened just about a year ago. We got together with Turtle Beach, the company that makes gaming peripherals that I'm sure you know well. Yes, and what that did was it brought our core group of passionate microphone developers. It brought us the backing of a significant public corporation that understands what we do and kind of supports us and frees us to go off and do our thing. And so we've now released our second generation of products that are an improvement even over the original ones that were doing very well. And we're having fun out there in the marketplace. There is a whole new use for microphones. Now it's not just in the studio or on the stage. It's just what you're doing. It's podcasting and all kinds of content creation. And we're having a lot of fun bringing what we know about high-end microphones and capturing sound and the tonality that Skipper was talking about in terms of the opinion of sound and how it should be. And we have a variety of microphones for different applications. You're, I believe, talking into a King B2 right now, which complements your voice beautifully. I'm talking into one of our Worker B microphones. And we, in addition to traditional analog XLR microphones like you and I are using, we also have USB microphones now. And Skipper is talking into one of those. And we're fundamentally proud of the way every one of these sounds. They're different microphones for different applications, but feature for feature and dollar for dollar, one of the things we're the most proud of is we really believe that ours simply sound the best. And we let the microphones kind of speak for themselves.
Yeah, that's been our background is doing this for over 30 years. And, you know, it's not something that you can just jump into. I mean, you can. Anybody can make a mic. But anybody can write a song, but why are some people successful and why are some people not with it? Right. I think that if you are passionate about what you do and you stick with it and you work hard at it, you just get better at it. And yes. I'm very proud of the group in the sense that we've all stayed together for so long and that it gives us a sense of understanding. Just like you being a musician, you know what it's like to be in a band with people after a while. There's just certain play that happens that's natural, and you take all this experience and you can go to the next level. And that's kind of where we were at with Neat and with the opportunity with Turtle Beach, is that what we did back in 2000, you know, in the 2000s and in the 1990s, for example, the Yeti, we crafted in 2009. And I always like to say that it's a digital microphone. And so our laptops, would you use an 11-year-old, 12-year-old laptop today? No. I mean, their technology has changed. Manufacturing's changed. All these incredible opportunities to take your knowledge, plug it in, and create a better product at a better price point and to reach the consumer and to reach our customers.
And one of the challenges here, of course, is that many of the projects that are going on for content creation now aren't like the old days where there was a big record label advance to go into the studio and spend a lot of money and many months recording. Those kinds of budgets don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of independent content creators and independent podcasters who are setting up their own studios. You don't have to spend hundreds of thousands, or going back far enough, even millions of dollars to build a studio to be able to accomplish those goals anymore. I've got the advantage of what's happened in the computer industry, these incredibly powerful computers that you can buy for $1,000 or $2,000. We load the software on top and you have a recording studio, and with a few peripherals, you're ready to go. But budgets for microphones for most of the people who are involved in that category of recording aren't $500, $1,000, or $3,000. And of course, there are many fine microphones out there in those kinds of price ranges. And there have been, over the last few years, some pretty good microphones at lower price points. Our objective was to capture what made those much more expensive microphones sound so good and figure out how to bring that down into a price band that works for today's customer. And that's what you're talking into fundamentally. A few years ago, it would have been impossible to get that sound for that price.
Oh, yeah. This would have been a lot more money. And a lot of that's just because of how things have changed. So knowledge is important. Experience is important. For example, if you're a guitar player too, you said you play guitar, right?
Yes, yes.
So you know that when you first started, you may not have been able to afford a really nice guitar, but as you got better at what you did and you started to, you know, make a living at it, you could get a nicer guitar. It allowed you to take your skill set and take it to the next level. That's how we sort of approach this with the microphones and design.
Okay, yeah, because I know with going into, especially in the content creating space, like for the longest, like getting started, when you talk to, you know, established creators, it was always, oh, you need to get a blue microphone, like get the blue Yeti, you need to go and get this, and you go get that. Like, you're writing down this list of roughly you're spending an investment of $1,000 to $1,500 just to get started. And a lot of this stuff is like, okay, can be really overwhelming. And lately, one of the roles I've kind of shifted into is helping smaller creators get started with, you know, my partnership with Avery Media and stuff that I've actually been able to done. I get to speak at University of Hawaii at each of its campuses on the various islands, and also for Hawaii Pacific University and Chaminade University, where they're really pushing to, you know, help students that want to get into content creating, like learn, like, what is it that they need to go into. And so I've really, especially with over the last year, I've been telling students, like, okay, so if you want a really good microphone, consider getting, you know, the Skyline. I was using that for several podcasts. Use the Bumblebee too. I've actually recently used that with some of the voice actors that I've done interviews with and some of the voiceovers that I've done. And it's just, you know, you're getting premium quality that like 2, 3, 4 years ago, you would not have gotten out of a device like that. And it's just, amazing. Like, I'm really amazed at just the sound capabilities, sound capturing that your microphones have, you know. And I've used everything from the SM7B, which is like the gold standard, or was, and it's not anymore for me, but it was the gold standard. And it's like, you know, going down from there or going up from there, and it's like this right here is just everything I need. Oh. And it's just, yeah.
Thanks for the kind words. That, as the designers of that microphone, that makes us happy to hear. You know, let's for just a second, let's focus on that bumblebee you were talking about. A few minutes ago, the Yeti came up, and you know, you mentioned that was on the list. That was on everybody's list, and it's a great microphone. It does a wonderful job. But when it was designed, this content creation market that you're part of today didn't really exist yet. Yeah. And of course, that is a multi-pattern microphone. So it's got a variety of different capsules inside it. So you can do different things with it. And other companies that got into this business over the years, who weren't really mic companies, they were just trying to add a microphone into their line. They looked at what's the most successful product. So they went out and copied the Yeti.
Yeah.
So the reason there are so many multi-pattern USB microphones in that category is because they went to the leader and they copied its features. But here's the reality of that.
Yeah.
95% of the people we see using any of those microphones have them switched to the cardioid mode, the front directional mode. Mm-hmm. They aren't using the other patterns, but they paid for them. What's inside that microphone, those microphones they bought, are multiple capsules and switches and electronics, all of which add up to the price. Mm-hmm. We looked at that market and said, wait a minute, what this customer really needs, what this user has to have in front of him, is a really good directional microphone, a cardioid microphone. So let's take out those extra capsules. Let's take out those extra switches. Let's take out those extra electronics, and let's put in one really good capsule to capture that. Skipper mentioned earlier that in the years when he owned a recording studio and was the performer, and he and the band, they were learning about sound, about developing capsules. The team knows a little bit about that at this point. We get to leverage that historical knowledge. We put one larger, much more expensive, really good capsule, the Bumblebee. So if you compare a Bumblebee to its peers, you're going to find it sounds very different. It doesn't sound as good as your King Bee, of course. That's an analog mic. It costs a little more money and so forth. But in terms of USB microphones, we think the Bumblebee is it. So it's a, I'm glad you had a good experience with it.
I mean, think of, again, remember I mentioned to you the capsule's like a song? The size of that capsule, it's in the Bumblebee, is 25 millimeters. The capsules initially that we had put in when we designed the Yeti back in 2009 were 14 millimeters. Now, the larger the capsule, the better the surface, the more bottom end, the more presence you get. I'm talking to that capsule right now, and you can hear how beautiful it sounds when you get really up close to it, like a broadcast voice. So that's the difference. And we didn't know at the time, because when we first entered the USB microphone back in 2005, there really wasn't anything there. The stuff that was available as USB mics were ancillary products that were used to for a laptop that didn't have a microphone in it. So it wasn't so much about creating fidelity, but just getting a mic, you know, and something that would pick up sound. Everything about us at Neat and what we first started in the microphone industry was, how can we create a better image? How can we help people capture sound and get what's unlocked in their head onto some type of a recording that they could share with others? So our idea is be able to help people sound better, communicate better, so that their message is better. Whether you're doing a podcast, whether you're doing gaming and you're communicating with somebody through a gaming thing, whether you're doing some type of Skype call and you're talking with your family, if you're doing music and you want to capture your voice, your guitar playing, all that stuff is part of capturing sound and getting that emotional message out in the best way possible. I always call us an insurance policy when we create products, because you want to concentrate on your art. You want to concentrate on your message. You don't want to worry about how it's being delivered. That's our responsibility, and we take great pride in that.
Yeah, definitely. The fact that there's, you know, you folks have microphones available for all consumers, no matter the background, that goes a long way, because not many companies can say that they have that many options. It's usually one or two. And it's like, no, we've got the Skyline, we've got the Bumblebee, we've got the King Bee, we've got the Worker Bee. Like, what are your needs? And we can, you know, we can tailor and fit it towards what you're using it for. And it's just, that's almost unheard of. You would think that'd be more of a standard, but you guys are blazing that trail and setting the precedence that other companies, truthfully speaking, are going to start copying at some point.
But, well, it happened to us when we started the first company. Yeah. All of microphones in those days didn't have names; they had model numbers, and they were a series of numbers. And what we wanted to do is create what we call lifestyle products. We wanted to create a culture to what we do. I'll tell you a quick story. In the 1930s, Wurlitzer bought this thing called the simplex system. And the simplex system was the ability to be able to put a coin in, and all of a sudden a record would come up, and you could choose 12 different records. It was the first record changer, right? Well, Wurlitzer made jukeboxes in the 1934, 35, 36, and they weren't selling. They were trying to get them into people's homes as an entertainment device. So a gentleman named Homer Capehart, he actually became our U.S. senator at one point, one of the U.S. senators, went to work for Wurlitzer, and his job was to figure out how to make these jukeboxes successful. So he went into one of the department stores, and he saw these radios. They were called Catalan radios. And Catalan jewelry was very popular, and the design was gorgeous. And he said, "Who did this?" And he found a gentleman named Paul Fuller, who had created and crafted some of these radios. And together, they created the more modern versions of those jukeboxes. And they came out with the Wurlitzer 500, like what's in back of me. And they actually capped it all off in 1949 with the Happy Days jukebox. You've seen those from the TV show. But they were very successful because they took art and engineering and fused it together. And they created a lifestyle product. In fact, you could think of a jukebox as the first iPod. So the idea of what we do with our products is we have a style, an artistic style. The group, as David mentioned, the five of us have an opinion of art. We have an opinion of sound, and it's what makes us up. You know, you look like you. David looks like David. I look like Skipper. We walk in and we have our uniqueness. And our design ethics are about creating a culture and a brand that's unique to Neat. We did that with our first company, Blue, and we've learned a lot from that, and we're taking that to the next level with Neat. So a lot of, when you talk about the looks and the feel of the products, this is all very, pointed and on purpose. This is what we do. You know, this is part of our way of designing things. And names were important to the products. That's why we have the B line. It's kind of a fun way of remembering the products. You walk into a store and you don't know what you're looking for, but you remember, oh, King Bee, Bumblebee, that type of Worker Bee. These are things that help the consumer to feel connected to our culture, what we created at Neat. But you remember, we came to this as artists, to people who and understand that when you record music, you want to be able to communicate and reach people. So we weren't trying to say, oh, this is a hot category. Let's just do what other people have done to be successful. We found that we were different, and it scared us when we first got into it, because we thought, well, why are we so different than what other people are doing? And that's where we were fortunate to have David to guide us and say, no, you're onto something. The world is changing, and so should the gear that we use to be able to record and capture sound. Now, one of the things, I'll give an example that I learned from being a musician. You're a guitar player. You know, when you, a pickup is like a capsule, like a microphone capsule, right? So you know that when you plug in to your guitar into pedals, right? What happens? You start to get noise, right? You go from pedal to pedal to pedal. All of a sudden, there's like this kind of stuff going on, right? So the same thing is true with the microphone capsule. if you look at your King Bee right now, we don't have any pads. We don't have any filter switches. None of that stuff is in between the capsule and the amplifier that goes out to your DAW, the way you capture sound, because we want to protect the tone that's coming from that capsule. So a lot of people will do feature sets to sell things to say, hey, look what we can do. Look what you can do with this. I call it the remote control problem. You know, you want to pick up a remote control and turn your TV on. You want to turn the volume up and down, change channel, and mute. But there's a million other buttons on that remote control that you never use, or at least most people don't. Now, there are some high-tech guys that get it, and it really makes their life better. But a majority of the people out there, as David pointed out earlier, when we decided to put the effort in the design into our capsule and our Bumblebee and not offer all the other features, is because most people were using the mic in cardioid, right in front of it, is a vocal product. Well, we think of the same thing with the mics. Let's make them simple. Simple to use, so we don't confuse people and find out what's their best use for the mic. And we found that if we can make the microphone present, as if someone's singing right next to your ear, we had to make sure that the path was clean between the capsule and the amplifier. So this is our experience that we're trying to help pass on to our customers.
Yeah, Meckel, getting a microphone that sounds like the King Bee in front of you isn't an inexpensive exercise. The parts that are in there cost money to make. And so how do we manage to get this high-end sound down to that price point? It's because we make the kind of intelligent decisions about what to put in the mic and what to leave out. We've been talking a lot about how important the capsule is. We wanted that to be great. But we left out certain other things that, again, 95% of the customers don't need in order to bring it the price down and keep the signal pristine and the noise low, so it ends up being a win-win for the end user.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I can personally attest to how amazing, you know, your microphones are, from the King Bee 2 to, you know, the Skyline to the Bumblebee 2. Like, especially when I was doing my live streams, I was using, I was using another XLR mic that was okay. You know, it's one that I was reviewing, but then when I got the Bumblebee 2 and I started using that, even the Skyline, when I was using those for my live streams, people were like, dude, what kind of mic are you using? It's so clean. It's clear. Like, it's like, what is that? And I would just like pull up the box. I was like, here, use the affiliate link in the description.
It makes us happy to hear that. Thanks.
You know what I love about the Skyline? One of the things we were working with the Skyline and designing it, we wanted to make a microphone that was just really simple and contemporary for your desktop. And also at the time, we had some products out prior called widgets. We had widgets A, B, and C. And we wanted to make something a little bit smaller footprint. And we discovered from talking to our customers, which were mainly students and people working from home that had discovered our products through the pandemic, all of a sudden they were going, I just need something simple. And the widgets were easy. You could just plug them in and go. But some of the feedback we got was that, can you reduce the size of the mic? And I just need a big mute button because my dog walks in, my kid walks in, or, you know, I have to cough or something. I just want to grab the mute button. So one of the biggest feature sets we put on the Skyline was that we just wanted one big mute button right in front. And we also wanted a tactile feel where it was kind of neat to be able to touch it up and down, which people have commented on. And it became a knowledge, you know, like what you learn from being a musician. You record a song one time and you go, oh, I learned something. I'm going to do differently the next time around. Well, we've been doing this for 30 years. So you imagine how many next time arounds we've had, right? So we know what to listen for. We know how to figure out when a customer or our the consumer starts saying, this is what I need. This is the problem I'm facing. How can we make their life easier and better? We start with sound and audio, as David pointed out. It's the first thing we do, but that's something we've been doing for a long time. So we have a good idea of how to get there really quickly. The next thing is, let's create something that makes people's lives easier.
Meckel, we've been talking a lot about us up to now. What can we do to help you with questions that your users might have, your listeners. Yeah. If they've listened this far, they're interested in microphones. Is there anything that we can help with in terms of problems that they have, issues that they run into when they're using a mic, that sort of thing?
I know that from the majority of my users that, you know, I do interact with frequently in my Discord community, they, for the most part, since they switched over to using the Skyline, the Bumblebee, and a few of them are using the King Bee 2 and the original King Bee, it's just been, you know, easy sailing. There hasn't been any technical issues that they've run into. It's been very, you know, plug and play, especially with the XLR ones running into the DAWs. It's just, you know, how do I, you know, what settings should I use for my audio interface? But beyond that, they have had zero issues. Like, I've had no one, and I'm, you know, just honestly, like, no one's had any complaints that they've levied towards me or any ideas of improvements. It's literally, they love it. So it's awesome. Like, how do you improve upon perfection?
I don't, you know, I think humans are in constant search of perfection. I don't know that we've ever gotten there, but we're trying to constantly improve over time, right? That's what we're trying to do.
I mean, that's the main reason we're doing this now. We've been doing microphones for so long, and what we don't want to do is repeat ourselves. What keeps us going and keeps us excited and passionate about what we do, and you can hear that in our voice, is that when we've gone to a different place, to a different level, that we could up the game.
I mean, you can, you know, we're not the youngest guys you've ever talked to. This is a second and third career for Skipper and me, and it's important to us to not only enjoy ourselves and be successful on the business front, but also to create things that we can be very proud of.
Yeah, this is not a greatest hits tour. This is creating the new hits.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, as far as like my own personal usages with this, this nails it. For me being able to do voiceover, for me being able to do my singing, for me to be able to do podcasting, I'm perfectly fine with this. And then when it comes to streaming, I did a live stream this morning. Actually, not that long ago. I have not slept that long. That happens.
That happens.
Yeah. I use this as well as I switched out and utilized the Bumblebee and also the Skyline, so my audience can hear the difference between all three of them. And they're like, they just all sound amazing, like no matter what. And I've had other professional streamers come in that, you know, this is their career. They're like, yeah, they just swear by the neat microphone brand, and that's powerful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So is there, I don't want to take up too much of your folks' time, but is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with before we go?
Just as we said earlier, we have a background in microphones, in music, in recording, and our goal is to bring that background to the modern market and provide really, really reliable, high-quality audio at a price that people can afford, because again, those record company budgets are gone and we have to be realistic about price points. People are now making their living using these products. And when you're a professional, kind of the cost of entry here is reliability. It has to work every time. Mm-hmm. So we put a lot of effort into quality of the product in terms of its operational ability, but also the sonic quality of it and the sonic character of it. And we're just really proud when people sing or talk into one of our microphones, listen to the result later, and they get a smile on their face. That's our goal.
Definitely.
And I would add to the this is that, you know, and within anything you buy, look what's behind the company. Look at the team behind it. This is a group that's been together for a long period of time, for over 30 years, that have been designing microphones, and there's a lot of knowledge and a lot that we're passing on. We are really, really fortunate to be with Turtle Beach. It takes away a lot of the pressure sometimes that takes you away from the heart of what you're trying to do, which is create a great product. And they've allowed us to continue our growth and to function as a team and to be creative and forward the microphone category. So this is just the beginning. and there'll be a lot more to come.
Awesome. My last question is, did you folks have fun?
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great to spend time with you. Thank you.
I would definitely love to have you both back on again. And, you know, we could do more deep diving into the technology of the phone. I really just wanted to let like people hear from you, like in the sense of like your history with it, you know, how neat came to be the technology inside of it, because that my listeners love hearing that.
So. Be careful what you ask for, because we can really nerd out and probably bored them to death when we dig down deep. So
hey, that could be one of those 5-hour podcasts I was talking about.
No, it's intense. I mean, there's a lot of details. We've been doing it for a while, so we get from point A to point B quickly, but boy, we could go on for hours on this stuff.
Hey, my audience would love it. So if ever there's a time you two are free again, I would love to have you back on, and we could, and also I'll have more time to be able to do that, because I can carve out and be like, hey, can you go watch the baby? But it's been an honor having you both on, David, Skipper. I will leave links to everything in the description for the website for Neat Microphones, along with, you know, more descriptions of the various products for the various usages for, you know, the various people that will be using it, you know, people in the business space, people who need to use conferencing, people who want to stream or, you know, produce music or voiceover or podcasting. There's a microphone within the Neat Microphones umbrella for you, the listener and user. So with that being said, we are signing out. We hope you have an aloha rest of your day, and see you on the next one. Mahalo for your time for listening to this episode of the Casanova Podcast, number one podcast in Hawaii. If you found this episode to be incredibly enjoyable, informative, or if there's anything you gain from it, or any insight, or, you know, anything that's good that you really, really enjoy, make sure whatever platform you're listening to it on, or if you're watching it, leave a comment if that's available on the platform, like it, share it around with someone you think would enjoy it, and give us some feedback, because your feedback is exactly what we need to keep this show going. And if you're wondering what are some ways that you could support the show, we got various ways. We've got Patreon, we have channel memberships over on YouTube, as well as Subscribestar, Coffee, and so much more. Links for everything will be in the description of the podcast, so make sure you go check that out. And with all that being said, I hope you have an aloha rest of your day.
Let them know that I'm next level. I'm a whole new kind of guy. Yes, at the top spot, in case you forgot. We the ones that got the block hot, bullet got the shot. Yeah.